Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It's all about you. It's all about you. All about you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. I'm sorry to sound like a Scrooge, but I'm kind of glad Christmas is over. People come in after Christmas with bags under their eyes and red eyes and a little too much Christmas cheer. I don't know what it was, but we get too busy sometimes, don't we? We get so busy. And we allow ourselves to get too busy sometimes. You know, I quoted Corrie ten Boom a couple weeks ago, and she said, "Beware of the barrenness," remember what it said? "Of a busy life." And I don't believe it's talking about busy for Jesus and obedience to His will. But what she meant by that was that we can get preoccupied with all kinds of things and activities that often God has not even told us to do. How many are with me? And we end up getting just kind of run down. And we start to run out of oil. And we, you know, the devil is really good at distraction. And that thought came to me today when I was up in my study, because I was just thinking about just things as of late. And I'm thinking, you know, the devil is playing interference. Mm-hmm. He knows how to run or play interference to get us distracted. I thought, you know, we can't play his game. We're not playing his game. We are on the Lord's team. And if God says sit in the bleachers for a while or sit down in the dugout, we'll do that. That's right. But if He says get up, you're up to bat, we got to get up to bat, right? We've got to just be on assignment in the time and the place of God's appointment. And when we do that, we will find that we're in the game and that there is progress. We're going to be making progress. You know, we make a base hit. That's progress. Sometimes we want to hit the home run every time. It doesn't always happen that way. But if you get enough base hits, right? If you're working together as a team and we're all getting base hits, we're going to make progress. We're going to move. But we can't be a one-man team, right? We've all got to work together as a team. And if we're all doing our part, carrying our load, and not trying to do somebody else's job, and not sitting down on our job, then we're going to make progress this coming year. I believe that God has got good things in store for this church. And I just have an expectancy for great things this year. And I'm not saying that except that I really believe that.
Yes.
I have expectancy that this fast is going to open some doors, that we're going to have a visitation this year. That is going to be the greatest visitation. We are going to press in and press on in Jesus' name. And oh, thank you, Jesus. Can you just lift your hands right now? Hallelujah. 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 We bless you, Lord. Father, we pray your kingdom come and your will be done this coming year. God's taken his people off the shelf and he's blowing the dust off them and he's reactivating them. And some of us who have been busy in the battle, busy in the field, God's going to bring a refreshing as well. And out of that refreshing, there's going to be an abundance of fruitfulness this year as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because the harvest demands that His people be walking in the fresh anointing that He has. We can't live out of yesterday. We need to live in the right now move of God. We need to walk in the water with Jesus. Hallelujah. There is a rhythm to the Spirit, and we need to find that rhythm. We need to walk with Him at His pace. Because if you try to run ahead of God, you ever try to run in the water, right? You try to run through water, you'll just burn yourself out very quickly, and you won't get anywhere very fast. But if you find the rhythm of the water, there is a rhythm where you can kind of get into the water and you can go with it. And of course, if you stay behind and you don't get into the water, you're not going to get anywhere either. So the matter of the fact is we have to get into the river, and we have to get in with God, get close with God, hear His voice, know His voice, so that we're not being distracted. So the enemy's not giving us false burdens. He'll have you, you know, down all kinds of rabbit trails. Sometimes doing things that are not bad, but they're just not right for you. And I just believe that this year is going to be an awesome year. Thank you, Jesus. I'm really glad that I was born at such a time as this. I believe this is the greatest time of harvest, and we get to be a part of it. Yeah. So how many are excited about the harvest? Amen? We're talking about souls for Jesus, winning souls. Yeah. Hallelujah. There are others who have been recruited into the enemy's camp, and they haven't realized it yet. God's going to also be waking up some people, and they're going to wake up someday and they say, what am I doing in this camp? This is not the Lord's camp. How many have heard of during World War II how the Germans would impersonate American soldiers? And sometimes American soldiers would impersonate German soldiers so that they could get behind the lines. You know, the enemy does that. He's an impersonator. And we got to have our eyes. We've got to have discernment. We need to know the difference, don't we? There are a lot of folks that just run after the latest trend, the latest thing. You know? In fact, I heard somebody criticizing the banners as being just a trend, you know. They just don't understand. They don't understand. But I understand that there are things that sometimes we adopt that are just trendy. Sometimes when I listen to the Christian radio station, you know, I call it popcorn, Christian popcorn music, you know. So there's some good stuff on there, don't get me wrong. But I think a lot of it is just commercial. It's shallow. Connected. It's selling albums. I said it. We've been caught up in the commercialism and the marketing of the gospel. Oh yeah. There are those who are just in it for the money. When we look for music that is really connected in heaven. There's a sound from heaven. And sometimes I'll get a CD and there'll be one song on there where they were connected, you know? And so we'll glean that. Say, there's a treasure, you know? And the rest of it may be just fluff. But I want the substance. I want the real deal. I don't want to be a seeker-sensitive church that's just out to please everybody. All right. Oh, what do you like? Do you like it this way? This is not Burger King. Amen. Have it your way. We're going to have it God's way. And people that love God will have it God's way. And there are a lot of people out there that love God. And there are a lot of people who haven't discovered the love of God yet. But when they are touched by heaven, when God intervenes in their life, when the gospel comes and ignites something within them, the flame of God's love, amen, breaks through, they're going to realize how much they are loved, and they're going to love God, and they're going to look for a fellowship where people love God.
That's right.
Where people are not program-driven, but they're Spirit-led.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I don't believe we have to sell out. I don't believe that we have to compromise, you know, to grow a church. Whose church is it anyways? It's His, right? So we're here to do His business and do it His way. Some people won't like that. Some will. Oh well. We're going to do it His way. And just because you don't understand something, be very careful about criticizing something just because you don't understand it. There are a lot of people that are criticizing the move of God and don't even realize it. They don't understand it. Has anybody beside myself ever been in a place in your life where you are so convinced about something only to find out that you were sincerely wrong? I guess, okay, there's one over there. I thought I was the only one. We've all done that. So we need to have patience with each other too in the process, don't we? There is a right now word from the Lord. There is a right now move of God. There is a fresh anointing from heaven. There is a fresh fire from heaven. And folks, ever since I was born again, it's been in my heart for revival. Revival. I've got to live in revival. I cannot stand deadness. I cannot stand lukewarmness in my own life or anywhere else. And occasionally I have to be reminded too, you're starting to get lukewarm, Keith. We need to rekindle, reignite that flame. Amen. We got to go after God again. Drop everything else and get a hold of God again. When I start to notice the church starting to wane or starting to get sleepy, it's time to shake everything else off. Amen. It's time to reconnect with heaven. Let's get into that place again where the river is flowing freely, where there is the life of God, where there is salvation, healing, and deliverance, where there is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, where the kingdom of heaven is at hand, amen, and being manifested before the eyes even of the skeptic. We need an Elijah on Mount Carmel move of God. I have a confession to make. I went to a movie the other day. Yeah, I did. I went to a movie. And the movie wasn't all that bad. But the commercials or the previews blew my mind. I was like, whoa! Everything was dark. Everything was demonic and dark and... And I mean, it was sick stuff, man. Sick. And so many of our people, you know. Come on, even Christians that have been desensitized through this. They don't even blink. And our children, you know, should never be allowed access, especially into this demonic stuff. These movies and the stuff they got out right now is just, wow, it's right out of the pit. It's calculated, it's deliberate. From Satan himself. It was so clear. I was thinking, oh my word. I almost got up and walked out just from the previews. Because I thought, well, after this one, maybe, you know, there'll be in the movie. Here comes another one. And this stuff is all right in your face. And they went on for 20 minutes, at least 20 minutes. One right after another. I was like, my word. What is happening? America is sinking fast. The night is coming when no man shall work. Let us labor while we have the day, while we're in the day, while we're in the light, while we have opportunity. Because if we just sit around and we wait for somebody else to do it, it doesn't get done. It's time that you and I do something about it. I'm not talking about getting up and shouting and holding the sign. All right? Protesting. I'm talking about the church returning to its first love. Just falling in love with Jesus again. Amen? Yeah. Getting on fire for Jesus again. Yeah. When you're in love with Jesus, you'll be in love with people. When they experience the love of God, they're going to want what you have. They don't want to see the hateful look on our faces and the red face and the sign saying baby killer or whatever else is out there. That's not going to win people to Jesus. You can curse the darkness all day long. It's not going to shift what's happening. The only thing that's going to shift the darkness is the truth, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. It's time to get out of the boat and onto the water. Yeah. Do you know what? God has been speaking to you tonight. Not just tonight, but God's been speaking to you lately. And He's been revealing to you some things that He wants you to do. I'm talking about everybody here. It's just a matter of you and I getting up and doing it. We're sitting around, we're saying, God, show me the way. Lord, what is your will for my life? Do you know what? The Holy Spirit's been speaking to you already. And He's been speaking to us for some time. If you've been in this place, you've been in the atmosphere of heaven. Guess what? The Holy Spirit's been speaking. Come on. He's been speaking to you in your prayer closet. Amen. He's been speaking to you and at night when you sleep. God has been speaking to you about your assignment. It's not often the matter of not knowing my assignment. The problem is that we are allowing a spirit of fear to paralyze us. Fear is the opposite of faith, isn't it? You can't walk in faith and walk in fear. And so, the Bible says that the love of God casts out all fear.
Amen.
And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So, what we must do is we must consecrate ourselves. Quit running interference with the devil, amen? Quit going for those distractions. Quit getting led off on all these trails. Get back to the main thing again. And that is our personal walk, our personal relationship with Jesus. Because it's out of that intimacy in the Spirit that every call comes. Amen? That any effectiveness, any fruitfulness is always going to directly result from intimacy with God. Don't wait for me, don't wait for any man to grab you by the hand and say, come on. You need to get a hold of God. If corporately we tune into Him, get a hold of God, corporately, there will be one heart. There will be one mind. There will be one purpose. Come on. We may all have a bit of a different assignment, but it'll all be together for the main purpose of the kingdom advancement. Amen? Again, you've heard it said that you don't tune a piano to another piano. Quit depending on your brother and sister to tune you. You tune into the main tuning fork, amen?
That's right.
The standard. If we all will tune into His standard, amen? Get right with God. Get in alignment once again with Father God as an individual. And then when we come together corporately, it's like, yeah, I see that. I get that. Yeah, we're going together. We're walking together. We're moving together. Too often we just depend on... Now, there's a time for ministry, folks. Don't get me wrong. But we depend too much, okay, on someone else's anointing, someone else's experience. What happens is we end up following men. And when we start elevating men above others, division is inevitable. When you start elevating this one above this one and this one above this one, guess what happens? You start creating contention and division. Paul himself said it. Some say, I'm of Apollos, you know? I'm of Peter, Cephas, and I'm of Christ. We're all brethren. There is an authority, yes. God has given authority. God has given gifts unto men. God has called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, right? For the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry. But we're brethren, and we love each other because we're part of one another. Well, it may be true, but is there a part in your biological, physical body that you may like more than another part? Would you agree with me that anything missing from your body is not good? Anything dysfunctional in your body is not good. And so in order for the body to live, it has to be what? It has to be flowing. Right? The blood has to flow. It has to be in life. It has to be connected to life. So as individuals, we need to be connected to life. When we're connected to life, we are going to have the life of God in us. When we are full of the Lord, amen, the love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts. When His love is shed abroad in our hearts, we have a supernatural boldness. It's a perfect love that casts out fear. And then faith will begin to arise in your heart. And then you must take a stand. You must take a step in the direction of the will of God that you know is the will of God. And He will reveal it step by step. Base by base. And if we will do this together. I mean, don't please. It's not, that was a good message. We got to get a hold of this for this coming year. And I really want us to really rekindle and get back. I'm not saying that we've gone far, but we have drifted, I believe. Now, some of you are saying, huh? Because you're probably looking around and saying you've been to some other places and say, this is pretty good to some places I've been. Amen?
Amen.
It's really a sad state. Much of the church in America, from what I've seen in my travels. I've been on the East Coast for a while too. I was in New York for a while. But what I've seen has not been very healthy for the most part. And we have to be determined that we're not going to allow ourselves to go. Amen? We're not going to let ourselves go. We have to determine that we're going to keep the revival fires burning. Amen? That we're going to stay passionate and hungry for God to seek His face, to seek His presence, to seek His will for our lives specifically. And as individuals, if we do this, when we come together, man, it's just like, whew. It's what it is. It's an explosion, isn't it? It's like all the clouds coming together to form one big glory cloud. And in the glory realm is where heaven, amen, shakes earth. When things shift and change and hearts are mended, people are healed, people are delivered, people are saved. I love to see the miracles of God. I eat it up. I'm hungry for the supernatural. And you know what? God has put it in mankind to have a interest, a desire for the supernatural. Why do you think people go to these? Yeah. They like monster movies. You like something bigger than you. Why? Because it's in our DNA to worship God. And you and I have been privileged to have the revelation of the true and living God. So we don't have to go after lesser things that people are searching for God in all the wrong places, right? Obviously, we know Satan is not God, right? Wicca is not the way. Why would we worship the creation when we can worship the Creator who is forever blessed? So I want this church, this is my desire, not just this church, but I want the body of Christ in general to come awake, to come alive. And you and I are fire starters. We're the ones that can effect change. We keep refreshed in the Lord. Stay fresh. There is fresh fire, fresh anointing for you every day. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you're so patient with us. And forgive us, Lord, for the times when we forget you in the busyness of our everyday lives. But God, I ask you to rekindle, reignite, Lord, the flame of passion in every heart. This church, Lord God, will blaze for you. We will be known as burning ones. That God, we're going to effect change. Hallelujah. That we will truly be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. If my people, who are called by my name, Jesus said, if you're his child, if you humble yourself and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked way, then he would hear from heaven. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. We sang that song earlier. Anoint us for greater things. You know what, folks? To me, the greater things is that you and I are going to ignite others. That we're going to light others. That we're going to influence and affect others. Amen? In a positive way. And we're going to advance the kingdom by the testimony of our lives, because we are on fire for Jesus. And the greater things, amen, are the things of the kingdom. You know, I said this before, and I know not everybody's going to agree with me, but that's okay. The church has been, in America especially, has been too silent. Not only have we been silent, but we've been a poor testimony. I say we because we're all the same. Amen. We're still the family of God. So we're not comparing ourselves with others tonight. But we've all got to get a hold of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And let him really get a hold of us. So that we can influence, we can affect change, we can ignite others for Christ. You know, folks, I find it easy, but if we just talk about the good things that God is doing. When I used to work for Panasonic and I was in youth ministry, and I went to a church that was really red hot, and I would come into work and I would boast on God. I would tell people, man, let me tell you what happened. Half of them didn't want to hear it, but I would tell them what God was doing. How people were getting set free and healed, and, you know, miracles were happening. And people that were depressed and downtrodden were, you know, once again, they were happy. They had joy. And I was talking about the goodness of God. Boasting, that's what it means to praise. Amen? To speak well of. To boast in God. To talk about how good God is. People don't need to hear how wrong they are. Most people know that. Come on. Especially in this day and age, right? They just need to know how to get out of the mess. Now, there's times we may have to, God will say to point something out, but I'm just saying, we need to tell people how good God is. Declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So I start talking about, you know, these things, and some people would balk, you know, and other people say, wow, that's interesting. And sometimes people will say, well, that's interesting because they thought you're an idiot. But, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. they didn't want to come out and hurt your feelings and say that's wacky, man. But God's ways are not our ways. See, that's it. We try to have everything figured out, don't we? It's got to look like this. And God does something that completely, broke the mold again. And so what I discovered, though, was even though initially often people would not accept what I had to say, or they would not appreciate even what you had to say, I did look for people who were receptive. I didn't just throw it out to anybody, But if there's some receptivity there, I would share with them. Well, time went on, and someone has a loved one that's lost, Or someone, there's a death in the family. There's a tragedy that occurs. There's a need, that arises. And guess who they come to? They come to you and I, don't they? Because they know that our God, amen, has results. That our God is alive.
That's right.
Because we just told them how good God is. And you know what? Is it not the goodness of the Lord that really drew us to Him? Sometimes it was fear. Would you agree? Sometimes it's right? It's godly fear. And thinking, man, I don't want to go to hell. Well, that's a kind of a healthy fear, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, you don't want to go to hell. But then when you turn to Jesus, something else happens. You experience such love. This supernatural, this love that's inexplainable. You can't describe it in words. And then you experience the goodness of the Lord. And it's the goodness of the Lord that keeps us coming back. Oh, God really is good. I want to be honest with you. I can remember, I was a church kid in and out growing up. And I can remember singing, God is so good, so good. And I didn't have a clue what really that was about. A lot of people sing that song, God is so good. La, 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 la. What time is it now? Oh, God is so good. I wonder if that roast is ready. And they're not really connecting with the reality of that. But we're here today to tell people, right? And this is the message. Good news. Gospel. God so loves you. He loves you. He gave His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. Jesus loves you that much that He was willing to lay His life down for you. And when we begin to experience the true goodness of God, when we begin to experience the love of God, you can't help but love Him who is love. When you experience the goodness of God, it gets you coming back. How many came back tonight because you just know God is good and you want more of Him, right?
Amen.
Amen. I've said this before, but there's an old saying that, and I don't believe it's true for this church, but they say the Sunday morning crowd loves the pastor and the Sunday night crowd loves Jesus. So I don't know how true that is. In some cases it might be.
Wednesday's both.
Well, I hope you love me. I love you. But it's not about the pastor. It's about Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And it's not about any of us here, really. It's about making Him known.
Right.
Boasting on Him, bragging on Him, saying, hey, I know where you can get some answers. I know where your life could change completely. It could completely change and turn it around. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. How many people were at the last moments of their life, But then God intervenes. God.
That's right.
Yeah. That's where I was at. Yeah. And God showed up. Like the old song by Keith Green, Until Your Love Broke Through. I love that. That's another good one, too. Love came down. It's okay, folks. This really is the message. People criticize, you talk about love. What about the wrath? What about the judgment? You know, God has put it in man's heart. God makes sure that people know. There's this thing called a conscience. Now, the conscience can be seared. Am I right? Because we ignore the Holy Spirit. We don't listen to those warnings. And it can become ineffective. But it can be healed in Christ. The blood of Jesus can cleanse your conscience and make you a conscientious person again. But people, most people, know that they're a sinner. For the self-righteous, for the ones who do not realize this, they're a sinner, we have the law, don't we? Come on. The law says the soul that sins shall die. And so, have you ever lied? Have you ever cheated? Have you ever stole? You know? Or false witness? Spread gossip that wasn't true? Mm-hmm. Have you ever even looked on a woman to lust after her in your heart? It didn't even say that you actually went and did it. It said you did it in your mind. You done that? Then you've broken the law of God. You've sinned against God. And you stand guilty before God. So the law, amen, is to reveal the sinfulness of sin. But you know what? In America today, I believe the majority of our people, the majority now, because of the sickness of sin, because of the pollution and everything else, the moral corruption that has gone on in our nation, and how it has touched so many people today, that in their heart they know. The problem is that people don't know how to escape it. They don't know how to get away from it. You want to know why? Because a lot of Christians have offered them a solution, and that is by their own performance. To be good enough, to live good enough, to please God so God would accept you. And so many people have tried to be good enough, to live good enough. Has anybody beside myself ever tried that? Only to find out that you don't have what it takes to live holy. Come on. It's only through the blood. And because they've been given legalism rather than relationship, they've been given religion, they've come to realize that I'm not ever going to be good enough. And there are enough pious people out there who walk around and try to convince people that they are, even though they know deep in their heart they're rotten too. Come on. We'd put on the mask, the facade of righteousness. They need to know there's an escape from their sin. They need to know there is mercy at the cross. Amen. They need to know there is a God who really loves them. It's not a cliche. It's a truth. It's a reality. Amen. He really loves you. Come on. And He wants to free you from the bondage of sin. So you're no longer going to serve sin. You're going to serve Jesus. When you turn away from yourself and you look to Jesus, you're turning away, amen, from yourself being the Savior to Him who is the Savior. Amen. And when you look at Jesus, and like the song said, yeah, I see Him hanging there. I see Him hanging there on the cross. It was for me He died. I find my life is hidden with Christ and God. Amen. He is my life. He is my righteousness. He is my wisdom. He is my redemption. He is my holiness. I am only holy because of the holiness of God. I've shifted away from performance, amen, to now I place myself at the mercy of God and I plead for God's forgiveness. And the grace of God is given freely to those who trust Him. For it is only by faith, and the only thing that God accepts is faith and what He's already done. When you are walking in His holiness, through how? Through an abiding union. Amen? Relationship, a walk with Jesus, a friendship with God made possible through the blood of Jesus. Not because I'm so good, but because Jesus took my place. Jesus paid the price for me. If I mess up, I can go and say, Jesus, please, I'm sorry. Father, you know, He prays on our behalf. Taken care of. The blood's already been shed. The blood's already on the altar in the very presence of the Lord. Amen? In heaven. It says when He died, He went behind the veil. Amen? In heaven itself. With His own blood, and He sprinkled it on the mercy seat. That speaks mercy. And so people have come into situations where there was, you know, performance and there was legalism. And there was, you must, by your own works, be good enough for God to accept you. And so that's what happened to me. I came at a time in my, several times in my life, when I was just searching for a way out of my own experience, my own life. I just knew that I needed a clean slate. I needed a fresh start, a new beginning. And I walked into the wrong places. And that's what's happened to a lot of folks. There was a time when they were searching, they were looking. Maybe there's many that are still searching. Isn't life a search anyways? A search for importance, a search for truth, a search for meaning. Why am I here? What's it all about? Till I discovered how much God really does love me. There are organizations, there are groups out there who have an appearance of being righteous, who have an appearance of being holy, but it's all based upon human performance and not on the grace of God. The only hope we have is in Christ. Amen? He is my holiness. Holiness means to be integrated. What I say, what I do, what I think, all agrees. Well, guess what? I don't always agree. And if you're honest, you're not always there either. Has anybody beside myself said one thing and done a different?
Yeah.
Okay, there's an honest person over there. Not that we intentionally even wanted to do that, but it's happened, right? Okay. Well, God is always holy. Right? Everything He says, everything He thinks, everything He does, it's always in perfect harmony and perfect agreement. There is no shadow of turning, right? He is completely whole, holy. Everything is integrated in God, amen? And so the only way to be holy is to integrate myself in Him who is holy. And rest in Christ.
Amen.
No longer bound by fear. There is therefore now no condemnation.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to believe. That's what I'm going to accept. Anything that doesn't line itself up with that as God being my holiness is something that's trying to come in, and the enemy will try to come in to condemn you, to slander you, to accuse you. So that you begin to shift away from the grace of God and begin to place your own salvation in your own hands. Has anybody ever done that before? You get back into the performance thing again. And as soon as you get there, you're only going to do good for a little while. And something. Right? You're going to fail. You're going to fall short. For all have sinned and fallen short. Therefore, being justified freely through the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Hello.
Amen.
Am I speaking the Word of God tonight?
Amen.
We don't have to walk in fear, because there's these groups out there that will manipulate and control people by fear, and that they have to adhere to their standard. And if you don't, then you're going to hell. Or you'll be excommunicated, and if you're excommunicated, that means you're not going to have a higher place in heaven. We got to get set free from the commandments of men. Why was it that Paul said, I only knew among you Christ and Him crucified? Here, a Pharisee of the Pharisee, highly educated man, you know, knew the law. I mean, the first five books, you know. And he was one that came to a place in his life where he says that the only thing that really I'm going to come to you with is, I'm not going to baffle you with my knowledge. I'm not going to dangle before you all my credentials and all my degrees and PhDs and Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Why? Because in that system that He was in, especially to the Jews, right? But also in Gentile in nations as well. There's always some type of legal code that keeps people captivated, and it's called the commandments of man. Things that people have placed upon people to control them, to manipulate them, and often through fear. Jesus came to set the captive free. He came to give us life. He came to set, and that's why they hated Him, because He was messing up what they had going. They had a good thing going, man. They were the ruling party, you know. Everybody looked to them, and they used to control and manipulate people and abuse their power and their authority. And Jesus showed up and says, guys, it's not like that in the kingdom. Oh, we got to get rid of this guy. Well, you know, the spirit of religion will do the same thing today. It'll ruin a fellowship real fast. And you can usually tell where there is a spirit of religion ruling, because you'll walk into a bunch of sourpuss faces. Oh, they'll be so whole. I mean, talking about, you know, they've got their life is in perfect order, but there's no joy. There's no power. Exactly. There's no life. So, we have the privilege of coming into the very presence of the Lord, the throne, amen, of God, that's been opened to us through the broken body of Jesus, amen, the shed blood of Christ on the cross. Boldly, confidently, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us. Not so that I can be a perfect person, but I can find the mercy that I know I'm going to need, and the grace to live right. Not perfect, but right. How many know that we do have a responsibility to live right? How many know that that works in the proper way when we are in right relationship with the Lord? When we love Jesus, we do what He says.